Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 529, Charades.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. Al.
I'm Maggie.
And it's, we're in the middle of season two. I don't know why I tell you this every time. You know
this. You know, you're watching, or you're not, you're listening, but, like, you can put two and two together. You're smart.
Yes, exactly.
We believe in you.
Mm-hmm. And then this week it's time for charades.
Charades.
Mm-hmm. Chemin de fer.
This is... Bond.
Mm-hmm.
How British am I?
I think we are divided on this one.
Mm.
This one is where the cracks started to appear for me, and it seems that you enjoyed yourself.
I did, but we'll get into it, because you have some, like, you're not wrong.
Yeah, there's, yeah. They just go real sitcom with this one, and I don't care for that.
Oh, they surely do.
Yeah, but why don't we get into it? Why don't you tell us what happens?
All right. So Spock continues to have the engagement from hell as he prepares to meet with T'Pring's parents and do an already complicated ritual that could lead to the dissolving of his marriage. And Spock is discovering what it is to be the first Vulcan in history to ever have both an ulcer and canker sores. This is further exacerbated by the recent unleashing of his emotions and his feelings for Christine. Meanwhile, the ship has been investigating a lost civilization near Vulcan, which has awkwardly put Christine and him on the same shuttle. Things get even worse when an energy vortex crashes the shuttle, and the ancient dead civilization's automatic call center rebuilds Spock as a fully human. This is why you cannot replace human workers with AI, guys. And it is the only reason that you cannot replace human workers with AI. Otherwise, it's fucking perfect. Back on the ship, a guilty Christine searches for a cure while Spock tries embracing his human side for a while. This little experiment comes to a crashing halt when Spock gets the message that the meeting with T'Pring's parents is still going through. Amanda Grayson arrives and quickly deduces that something is extremely wrong with wrong when Spock starts wearing a hat. Hats are, of course, illogical. Amanda and the crew work together to help Spock prepare while Christine heads back to the alien vortex to explain to a manager what friendship is. The meeting with Spock's in-laws goes about as well as can be expected once you get past the traditional airing of the grievances and gathering around the ceremonial pole. Apparently there's a Vulcan ritual where everyone just gets together and tells you everything that you've ever done wrong in your life and how much of a disappointment you are to everybody. This is also known by its Vulcan name, Dinner at Maggie's Grandparents' House. With everything in the clear, T'Pring's mom makes one too many jokes about how humans suck, and Spock's mom especially sucks, and as we all know, you do not tell Spock his mommy sucks. Mm-hmm. Spock unloads, but honestly, T'Pring isn't as pissed about all that as she is about the fact that he didn't actually choose to tell her about his humaning, which I suspect is at least partly because she missed out on the chance to fuck him in human mode. Mm-hmm. The pair decide to put their relationship on a break, and Spock immediately fucks Christine. And I swear to God, if the rest of this show involves Spock repeatedly saying, "We were on a break," I am retiring from the Post-Atomic Horror. You cannot take one of the best characters in all of television history and turn him into one of the worst characters in all of television history.
And to be clear, you're talking about Ross Geller.
Yes, Ross Geller from the TV show Friends.
Mm-hmm.
The worst character on that show.
You're not wrong, but the "we were on a break" thing never bothered me.
I'm sure it's because I watched more episodes of that show than you. It used to be on
disagree.
Before The Simpsons. Really?
Disagree. I watched most of it, if not all of it.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was on before Seinfeld.
See, it was also on, like, on the Fox block, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ,
yes.
Where it would do two episodes of Friends and two episodes of The mm-hmm. Simpsons, and they would go back and forth.
No, I was watching it when it was airing, so.
So, it was just in constant rotation at the old Robotham house.
Look, we went for my 50th birthday. We went to LA and we did a whole bunch of cool stuff. I've talked about this a little bit because we went to Vasquez Rocks was the trek related thing I did. We also went on the Warner Brothers studio tour, which is the only studio that still has a tour, which is weird, but there you go.
A lot of the studios realize they don't want people just poking around.
They really let you poke around, though. You go into like a giant airplane hangar. Like, well, it's like three airplane hangars. It's fucking enormous, full of every prop from every movie ever.
That's so cool.
It is very cool. And you pass by the back lot, which is every town square from like I knew it from Gilmore Girls, but it's from thousands of shows.
Oh, and, yeah. It was absolutely like, hey, I know that place.
Exactly. But my point is, in the gift shop, there were more Friends related merchandise items than probably any other franchise that Warner owns, except
that
maybe DC Comics.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
I just, really, though? Like, I liked it fine back in the day, but really?
That's one of those shows that has such cultural, like everyone watched Friends. Everybody.
Well, and I know the Gen Z kids are watching, like, The Office now, so maybe they're hitting that, too. Anyway,
that wouldn't surprise me either, that The Office is the show.
Yeah, but the fact that they broke up and then he slept with someone and then everyone got mad at him. I never really got that. But that's you know, whatever. We're not talking about that show.
I was just, every time that guy went, we were on a break, I just wanted to leap into the television and strangle him.
He had
a few of those.
Yeah, but she did that thing where it's like, we never clearly set the boundaries, and if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. And like, what a shitty way to make a relationship.
I am not taking anybody's side in this stupid fucking thing. Like,
no, but I am building to something here, which is, what a shitty, hacky way to write a relationship is exactly my problem.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, specifically with T'Pril, who is T'Pring's mom, and her dad, who I don't even think, well, he did get a name, but you don't hear it because he does that horrible, hacky thing where he expresses an opinion, and then she says, no, you don't think that. And he goes, no, I don't think that. Like, several times, and what the fuck, man?
Yeah, that sucks. That it's so broad.
Yeah, and like, okay, maybe you're trying to do a 60s thing, but one of the things we've praised the show about is cherry picking the stuff from the 60s that still works and not doing this. Like, look how many women are in this main cast. Mm-hmm. They're really making up for the fact that original series had like two and they were supporting characters.
Exactly. Like one woman who is like regularly
on the
show and
but
two
doesn't
who
do very much.
Showed up on occasion.
Well, if you're talking about Rand, she left after season one, I think.
Well,
maybe
that's the thing. It was Rand.
Two,
it was Rand and Chapel. And
Chapel, yeah.
Like Rand was quickly replaced by the boss's girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, like the show gets a lot right where you know where they couldn't before, but this sucked. And more broadly, this is my bad thing. I didn't mind the body swap episode last season. I feel like they got the right amount of comedy out. In fact, I even said I'm surprised they didn't linger on the situation. They they held back a little bit. Like, but I'm worried that our Spock focus episode every time is going to be wacky shenanigans. Like, it's a little soon in the run to say it's becoming a cliche, but it also feels like it is. Like, this is such a sitcom. Something embarrassing has happened, and also my in-laws are coming.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, also, they did this in DS9 with Jadzia trying to please Martok's wife before she married Worf. And they went a little sitcom, but I think they pulled it off a lot better. But it's just the comedy was all just so by the numbers. And like the cold open, well, it wasn't really a cold open, but whatever. Spock, when he realizes his ears are smooth and he's feeling feelings, he goes, oh, and then they cut to the credit. Like, I get it. He said, fuck.
What's the quantum leap thing? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know, Maggie. Neither of us have ever watched a second of Quantum Leap.
No, and now I never will.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bakula, it's not his fault. It's probably a great show, but he's tainted by the Jonathan Archer of it all. So
Count Bakula.
I didn't like any of that stuff. I didn't find it funny. I didn't think it added anything to the characters. Spock and T'Pring breaking up is just like, well, okay. This obviously has peaks and valleys before we get to a mock time, so like this doesn't really mean much. And that's it. And whereas the other half of it is my good thing, is Chapel being absolutely determined to fix this all, I did like. It's like
I really like her guilt about this. Like, not just So as
well, it's like, complex guilt.
Exactly. As a woman who has a thing for Spock and knows that Spock has this long, like really detailed, really complicated, like marriage thing that he's trying to navigate, that he's already at a disadvantage at with his like with his human side, like she feels so awful. And just like, I got to help with this, but I hate that it's happening, but like, it's like not his fault. Just there's so much going on with that character.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. Like, she also is okay. Here's a, and this is a minor thing. It doesn't matter that much, but I feel like I should bring it up. Like, the, this alien, like, they're the typical, they've evolved beyond bodies and they live in a different dimension. And like, that's great. That's classic Star Trek shit. I love it. But they live in the Vulcan system?
Yeah, and that's like, weird.
The Vulcans have been spacefaring long before humans, and surely they have explored every tiny little crevice of their own solar system.
You would absolutely, unless they're working through the solar system planet by planet, it's like, all right, we're not getting to this one until we fully analyze these other ones.
I guess, but ours only has 8. Like, how long, like, I imagine an average solar system, you know, has 10, 12 something, like, in sci-fi anyway. So, like, how long would it take?
It's
just weird that a Starfleet officer in a shuttle, like, learns more about this in a couple days than they did for centuries. Just like, really?
It's very much a, we only need this to happen because, like, we can't have the ship, like, the ship needs to be by Vulcan. We can't have the, like, off in, like, somewhere no one's heard of, you know?
It's bad. It's lazy plotting.
It is.
All.
Like, it absolutely is.
What if you had it where it was the system adjacent to where T'Pring is doing her work with rehabilitating criminals? And then the families meet there, and that way you're not in Vulcan's back, like the most scientifically advanced and studious culture in Star Trek. It's not in their backyard.
Hey, we got this one planet that that we haven't really gotten to yet. It's on the list, you know. Like,
I mean, we did a flyby to Earth, which is pretty far, but you know,
we'll check it out once we've got the sheds all cleaned.
That said, I liked the aliens. I liked the whole deal. I liked the fact that they repair you, like, because they had died or nearly died, and so they're like, we're going to fix you, and they fixed Spock. They saw two sets of DNA, and they're like, better pick one, and they picked human.
Well, like, when I saw two sets of DNA, Al, that was when Chapel was carrying me.
Very good. You know I'm a sucker for that always.
Yeah.
But, like, I like that. I didn't like, speaking of broad comedy, they wrote them a little too customer service.
It's very call center.
Which was cute for a second, but the whole episode, they're just doing this, like, basically Chapel marches in and demands to see their manager. Mm-hmm. And, like, really?
Well, it's funny the first time, but the second time, it's just like, wait, so this is just the planet of the call? Like, this is just, like, the Starbucks planet? Like, I don't know what you want from me here.
You had said in your notes that it reminded you of Magrathea, which is the bit in Hitchhiker's Guide where they arrive at an ancient planet and all they have is an answering machine. And like,
that is 100% what I was thinking of, yeah.
And that's not a bad, like, that's not a bad thing to do, like I say, one beat of, but then the whole species is like that, and it's weird.
Yeah.
But that said, I really liked Christine's whole, like, character arc. So.
Oh, she's great. No, I'm always happy to see that character. I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
I think she's gorgeous.
Again, yeah, same.
She's got,
again,
like, fucking ethereal elf beauty.
Yep. But she doesn't, again, and this is another minor nitpick, but she doesn't really match the Chapel we know. Like,
no.
The fact that we don't know for, you said they fucked, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. They definitely kissed, and it seemed pretty hot and heavy, so you're not wrong to assume that, but we don't know that for sure.
Mm.
But regardless, they had romantic, physical, consenting something.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a kiss to fool someone like last time.
No,
they were both into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a hard time believing that the Christine Chapel we meet later has actually been involved with Spock for a bit, but okay, whatever. Fine. I'll look past that.
The more of Strange New Worlds I watch, the more I cannot square the circle that is the original series coming next. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I know. And they keep trying to fill in blanks and they keep doing it a little sloppy. And it's like, why don't you just tell the stories you want? Like, that was the advantage of the Abrams universe, is like, you could tell a story like that, but you can go off the map if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But here, like, just, yeah, it's, yeah.
Just, you know, this is different. This is not like the same. Yeah. And, you know, that show is sick. Like, I love that show, but that show's 60 years old. Like, you know, it's okay to fucking do something else now.
Yeah, that's fine. It wouldn't bother me either, but they keep trying to go back. And yeah. But I mean, they're doing a better job than Enterprise did, you know, so.
The weird thing, the thing that I keep see, like, the thing that keeps, like, throwing me off is just that, like, I can't sort of enjoy the whole Spock and Chapel of it all because, like, you know, we all know he's going to end up being Kirk's best friend, and that's going to be the relationship of his life for the rest, like, whether you ship the two characters or not, like...
Yeah, that takes up all of his time.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to interpret that as I am closer to my work friend than I am to anyone romantically, that's fine. But if you want to read it romantically, it's there too.
But, like, you know, his true love has not shown up yet.
He has, but they haven't met yet.
Well, yes. But I don't think they've met is kind of what I'm thinking of. Like, I don't think they've done the official Mr. Spock meet Captain Kirk.
I thought they... I can't remember because... I know at some point they start playing chess together. I thought it had happened now, but it might not happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened because I've been trying to keep an eye open for it. And the alternate reality one where he talks to Spock threw me off.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But all that being said, there is a long tradition in literature and fiction of doomed romances.
That's
and if
true
they're going that route, that can work. If the audience knows it's doomed, but the characters don't, there's interesting stories to tell. So that could work.
I mean, that's an option, yes, but like,
that's not really
like,
how they're playing it.
Well, that's the thing. And also, if that's what you were going to do, I'd kind of rather see you play with the doomed romance of Spock and T'Pring, honestly, you know?
That's a good point.
Like, the idea that not just Starfleet ruined this guy's marriage, but this one particular guy.
Yeah, that's true. I will also point out, I don't know if you caught this. So Chapel's here because she wants an internship or whatever with or a fellowship or whatever with Vulcan Archaeological Society or whatever. And she applies and we get a lot of Enterprise throwback jerk Vulcans who think humans literally stink and like, this again. And the guy just kind of sucks and says, I'm not interested and hangs up on her.
Yeah.
But when she's studying, she is studying the archaeological writings of Roger Corby, who is the dude she was engaged to in the original series.
In What Are Little Girls Made Of, I believe.
I think that's the android guy. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Because I remember thinking, who the fuck is that? She just had a bad engagement? What is that about? And it seems that they are setting that up. So that like, if she's still pursuing the archaeological thing, if she's going to go work with Corby at some point and fall in love with him, like, okay, that is good prequeling, I think.
Yes. Those are the kind of bits I find. It's the same thing with T'Pring. You took a character from one episode of the original series and made him, like, brought out a more interesting character, you know?
And that's what we've been, like, that is the prequel aspect that we've been enjoying pretty much across the board, I would say. Like, M'Benga showed up twice.
Yes.
Very minor, very, very minor character.
Great
and
fucking
now
character.
Now we're getting to know him. And your good thing.
Mm-hmm. Hang on.
Uh-huh.
I gotta scroll back up.
Well, it's Spock's hot mom.
Oh, yeah. We get Mia Kirshner returns as Amanda Grayson. I had to double check, and I forgot that she was in a couple seasons of Disco. And just continues to do an amazing job. My favorite parts of this episode are her work with Spock, trying to teach him to be human. The bit at the end that's like really gets into like all of the like her having to be a mother on Vulcan and like how that reflects, like having a hard enough time as it is. There's a bit in this episode where you have to like grip like a boiling teapot with your hands and just sort of like deal with it. And Spock's
that's
like,
part of the dinner ritual. You just have to pick up the scalding teapot and pour the tea.
And Spock's like, how did you do this? And she goes, living on Vulcan has taught me to be very quiet about my pain, which is devastating to hear.
And think about this. Think about how little we know about Amanda Grayson to this point. Like she looms large as part of Spock's psyche, but we've met her a couple times and she just says a kind thing to Spock, or like makes peace between the boys. Yep. Like, and that's it. But here you really, oh yeah, she did live with Sarek for years and she had to, like, yeah, that would have been hard. And it was great to get to know all that.
Mm-hmm. A character who, like, fell in love and has a all of the Vulcan-ness of that character and where that character comes from, and to stand, like, all of this bullshit is worth it because I love this guy who does not show emotion. Like,
no, but obviously privately he does. Like,
they
seem very happy together.
Yes. And just, like, you know, what is that character? And they do her so well in this one, you know?
Yes. Just, like, with one brushstroke, they have filled out, like, oh, it's been really hard for her. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's fascinating.
It's been hard, but, like, she loves this kid so much and just, like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Also, quite attractive lady.
Man, you ain't kidding. Buddy?
Uh-huh. Just,
good
sometimes
heavens.
I would say distractingly hot.
Uh-huh. Well.
Which is literally everybody on this show. Like,
I mean,
there aren't a lot of uggos on Strange New Worlds.
Certainly not. But also, the dress she's wearing certainly pushes two distractions very high up.
Yeah, see, I think it's better if you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I noticed, but I'm, you know.
Yeah. Maggie, you talk about the boobs. You're actively trying to grow a pair.
Yeah, exactly. We were both looking the same place, but it's more acceptable for you to do it. That's all I'm
sure.
Saying. No, she's...
My
she's,
God.
Also, she's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah,
like,
that too.
They put her in a lot of scenes next to Spock or Pike.
Yeah.
She's just a tiny, tiny one. Like, beautiful, obviously, like we just said, but also so small.
Well, Spock famously not a short man.
Yeah, exactly. So Pike, I mean, I do know why he's in the episode, because he's Captain Christopher Pike on this show about his ship.
Yes.
But particularly through the, the ceremony they do is called the Vishal dinner. And I
not
was like,
distracting they keep, at all.
They keep saying my friend's name. And I was just talking to a regular guest and artist for our supplemental covers, Vishal. And he said, actually, I wondered if it was an in-joke about the importance of the occasion, because Vishal can be translated to big or grand.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be, because I know they seem to be leaning into more of the South Asian-ness of Vulcans. Like, they're casting a lot more like Indian, Pakistani, people as Vulcans. And like, maybe they're doing that on purpose. I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence. Who knows?
I mean, I think that's definitely been a cool choice, certainly for T'Pring's like family, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Like in the original series, they went like Eastern European with it. They were the Vulcan priestess was Hungarian, which sounded to our ears unusual, because you don't hear a lot of that on TV.
No.
But they went a different direction with it. And I like this.
Mm.
But anyway, throughout the whole Vishal dinner, they Pike is just sort of hanging out.
Yep.
And I'm like, why is he here?
I mean, mostly just to be like, Spock, buddy, you okay?
Yeah, which is a nice supportive thing to do. But also, how far do the duties of captain extend? This is this is dinner with his in-laws. Mm. You can leave, Chris. You know?
I got to imagine, and they don't say this, but I got to imagine he's, like, there as, like, part of Spock's side of the family, basically. Like,
I think we couldn't get any of
the Sareks here, but, like, let's roll out Starfleet. Let's see why these guys are so fucking important to him.
I think if they had said that, I love that take, but they hadn't said that. I think if they had just said one line like, my father could not be here, but Christopher Pike has been, you know,
like
very
a father. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then Amanda and he exchange a meaningful glance, and then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also forgot, like, fucking Spock and Sarek are fighting still. Like, this is, like, not going
to... Journey to Babel, they hadn't spoken in some time.
Yeah, no, that's like in continuity, they're not supposed to talk until then, basically.
And this absolutely works for me prequel wise, because I absolutely believe Amanda continued to sort of try to soften them both up.
Oh, yeah.
And say, why don't you guys talk? It's been a while, and you're probably not even mad anymore. And what are you even mad about anyway? And come on. Mm-hmm. You're like, she just seems like, she seems more diplomatic than Sarek sometimes. Yeah. Which I love.
And it's also interesting to me, too, because it's like, well, they're fighting and this is taking forever. But also, both of these guys are going to live for fucking hundreds of years. So, like,
yeah,
this
fight might go on longer than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I was saying this before, the fact that Spock starts to try to become an ambassador around Star Trek VI, to me, always read as, this is my way of making up with my dad.
Yes.
Which is why it felt a little early in that Klingon episode a few weeks ago, where it's like, this is like, I thought he did it to fix things with Sarek, whereas right now it doesn't feel like it's time yet. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I also like the idea of that being not even just like him trying to connect with Sarek, but just sort of like that innate like, oh, this is also a thing that I can do, that I'm good at. That's something I can sort of put in my back pocket for now. Like,
yeah,
because clearly I'm all about Starfleet, my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. But now my Starfleet experience gives me background to be an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
I also really like the way, like, just speaking of all that, I really like the way that T'Pring is, the reason T'Pring puts their engagement on hold is like, one, you didn't tell me about this extremely important thing that was happening, and you know you can trust, like, we did a body swap episode last year. You know I am down for some shenanigans.
Yeah, like, as a fellow Vulcan, we have mind melded, which is, I thought, the way to get closest to someone, but it turns out we've gotten even closer.
Like, that in itself is one thing, but also she really, she's like, okay, but you didn't tell me, but you did tell everyone on this ship. It's so clear that...
Yeah, apparently Chapel and Pike and Mbenga, they all know what's going on.
The whole crew were doing an episode of Frasier trying to make sure no one found out about this, and you couldn't even be bothered to have a 5-minute conversation with me?
Yeah.
And like,
no, and
how can I not
felt
notice?
The same
we're
way.
Supposed to be getting married. Like, do I have any idea what, like, do I know you at all?
Yeah, she's absolutely right.
It feels like a lot of that would be more interesting if it was conversations that they had than stuff I had to, like, pick up from the episode.
Really? Because I felt the same way. Like, yeah. As soon as she stepped off the transporter, I'm like, tell her. You're not telling her.
Yeah,
like,
you
it's
need
I watch
to tell
a lot
her.
It's because I watch a lot of soaps, and in a soap, if there is an unspoken secret, it will come out in the worst possible way every single time, and I knew that was what was going to happen here.
Well, it's a thing that drives me nuts about TV, and it's a thing that is part of TV, because that's how TV works. But it's like,
it doesn't have to, though.
No. It's just, have the conversation. Like, you can trust this.
Yeah.
But, like, it also
it
shows that, like, there's, you know, this marriage isn't going to work.
Yeah, but I feel like there could have been some comedy to be had with her knowing as well and trying to help him cover it up.
100%.
But, yeah, whatever. What was your bad thing?
I'm not sure how I feel about Spock going to town on a big plate of bacon since, number one, bacon jokes, which I think we can all do without at this point. It's 2026.
I feel like we took this stand in the first episode of Sarcastic Voyage in 2009.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like, it is well-worn comedic ground.
Like, look, as far as breakfast meats go, it's a pretty good one. Sausage, also an option, but like...
Yeah, you know what? Scrapple is funnier than any of them.
Yeah, so, man.
There you go.
And two, anyway, Spock's a vegetarian, like...
Yes.
And I always assumed ethically a vegetarian, just like...
Yeah, I think all Vulcans are.
Like, it just makes sense to me that, like, if, you know, that's a practice on Vulcans, just like, yeah, we don't eat animals, they're animals, like... That's a weird thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess I don't know that. It's just always, like, been, like, headcanon to me. Like, I don't know. It's real weird. The whole scene just really rubbed me the wrong way. It's just like, I don't know about this, guys. Like.
Well, no, they did the Lower Decks thing where they, like, circumvented any possible character growth for the cheap in-the-moment laugh.
Yeah.
And I never enjoy that.
And the thing, like, I like the scene where he's out with, like, the with his friends and Ortegas
with adult
tells
girl
a joke.
Squad.
Yeah, teen girl squad. And Ortegas
no
tells
adult
a joke.
Girl squad. Yes.
Ortegas tells a joke and he gets like, he really like starts laughing at it.
Mm. Oh, I hated that.
See, I like that just because like this is a guy who has never won, like doesn't get jokes and is like feeling included for the first time. I thought it was really sweet.
I just thought they overplayed it is all.
Yeah, look, you might be right. I really enjoy just like if you're going to have this switch to like, oh, I'm human now. Like these are the things I could like as long as I'm human, I might as well enjoy this thing that I don't do normally, you know? And I forget what the other one was.
I don't know. There was a whole montage of various things. And then Girl Squad. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, he gets pissed off at Sam for not putting a dish away.
Yeah, right. I didn't like that. It was like they took the template of a sitcom and they just filled in Spock. That's all. It felt real cheap to me. Yeah. But and then they're trying to coach him how to act more Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so the mean girls are like, yeah, you need to be like, this is you. Dur, I'm a Vulcan. I'm like, wow. Okay. Jesus.
It's like, oh, is that really what you think of me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Uhura's not so bad, but everybody else is just...
That scene with Uhura made perfect sense to me because it's Uhura. She's supposed, like, she's a linguist. She's supposed to pick up on subtleties that, like, someone who
and
is...
And she studied the culture. In addition to knowing the language, she knows the culture.
Well, imagine trying to explain stuff to you that has been entirely innate for your entire life. Like, picking Uhura, who is an extremely talented linguist, like, would know exactly
Would you say she's a cunning linguist?
I would not, but if you would like to fill that in, I don't see a point. I don't see the problem.
I don't see the point either. Please continue.
But no, like, that's the choice. But then you've got the three others who are like, and also Spock, you should walk like an idiot and look stupid all the time.
Yeah, also you got bad hair. Also, you, like, yeah, just... Ugh.
Actually, you are the one who smells.
Ugh. God, we hated that through Enterprise and they did it here. And then when he turns human, that's why the bacon thing, because like he can smell and he can taste and like, and I can sing. And it's just,
help me, Dr. Benga.
And so they do the thing at the dinner where Pike, the, you know, like the gourmet chef is like, I'm going to try to cook some Vulcan stuff to accommodate our guests, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
And Tadad eats a little hors d'oeuvre that he makes. And he's like, these are really good. And the wife says, no, they're not. And he goes, no, they're not. Christine, good job.
I liked Pring's dad.
I did too, but I hated the horrible wife.
No, that part sucks.
Yeah.
But I very much had the thought while I was watching this, like, okay, so T'Pring, the reason T'Pring is not an insufferable piece of shit, like, is because of her dad.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like a fun guy when his wife's not around.
Yeah, I just, Terry Pratchett liked characters like that, too. He's I really enjoy this food. No, you don't. No, I don't.
No, you don't, like, dear.
You're such a progressive author in so many important social ways, and you still got this throwback bullshit here.
Mm-hmm. No, that character, that one character of like ignoring all that crap. I'm like, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I enjoyed that part of him.
Yeah,
like the agreeable, like this guy is kind of a diplomat actually, and even if he didn't like the food, he's being polite.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've never understood the take on Vulcans where it's like they are logical and they are direct. That doesn't mean they have to be rude. They should still understand the importance of social decorum to basically every other culture.
Yeah. I've never enjoyed...
Oh, these are your rituals. I need to say please. Okay.
Yeah. I've never enjoyed Vulcans as like assholes who don't like these are diplomats and peacemakers, you know, like... They need to know how to play nice with others.
To be fair, the one Vulcan we got to know really well apart from Spock was an ambassador, but most of them are not, I think. But they came from outer space to meet us and say, join our club.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I've never bought that interpretation. Well, interpretation, they made it up. But, you know, like, I never bought that angle. Like, they came to us.
Yeah.
Why would they then be dicks to us?
Because they thought we were worth checking out, you know? Like. Yeah.
And they thought, let's build a coalition to do all this stuff together. Why would they then be jerks about it? It seems like they want us to be included. Mm. Why would they not try to meet us halfway on some stuff?
You know? It just seems very strange to me.
Yeah.
And there's a way you can sort of figure that out that just like...
Oh, we've
the show's
seen Vulcans written
well.
Really well.
Yeah.
T'Pring, A+.
T'Pring's amazing. Like, they've done T'Pring such a good job with that character.
Clearly has emotions, but keeps them under control.
Yep.
And, like, she and Spock are funny. That's, like, Amanda, my partner, not Amanda Grayson.
Yeah, yes.
Points out that the best Vulcan characters are funny, which is it's a hard needle to thread, and actually... Fucking T'Pol, like for all the bad writing on that show, T'Pol was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Just the driest sense of humor you like.
Yeah, and nobody around her got it.
Yeah.
But like when you put Spock and T'Pring together, they're both like that, and it's really funny.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, why these wacky episodes bother me even more.
Mm.
It's like these guys are already funny.
Yeah,
and
you
now
don't
you're
need
like,
this.
Oh, I fell in a bucket. Duh. Like, wow. Okay. let's see, what else?
What else? I'm gonna look at my notes here.
Back to the chapel thing, I did like that she put a little commando team together of Uhura, who had spoken to the aliens before and probably knew how, and Ortegas, who could steer them into the... Like, sometimes they'll throw together a little side mission for the B-plot, and it's like, why are these characters together? But it made perfect sense. She's like, no, I need you and you for your skills. Like, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Let's see. Is that it? That can't be it.
That might be. I mean,
that might be it.
Covered the
I
main,
still,
you know.
I enjoyed this episode more than I didn't, but like the close proximity of it to the body swap episode and how close, like how it's just another Vulcan like manners comedy.
Yes.
Is also just like, guys, come on. It really, we were talking about this before that we started recording. It really feels like they saw that one worked and we're just like, okay, replicate that. We're doing one of these every season now.
Yeah. And it's like, you only get 10 episode seasons and it's only going for 4 seasons and a short one. Like, you really, like, the thing we really loved out of the gate was how different every episode was and how they got the variety of different kinds of Star Trek shows. And like, you really don't want to just... repeat yourself 15 episodes in already. You
like,
know,
that's
just...
the thing. You can do a wacky episode like the original series did, like, did
I love
great
a wacky
job.
Episode when it's done right.
But, like, the original series did a
Trouble
great
with
job.
Tribbles, Shore Leave, Sphinx.
Yeah.
Yep.
The original Very series good. Did a great job of doing a lot of different things, you know?
Yeah. But
and
also...
It feels like with... We know the musical episode's coming and the crossover episode's coming... And ignoring how much I don't want to watch that crossover episode, like, it just feels like you're getting, like, you realize, oh, we'll be the funny show. We'll really lean into that. And you don't have to. You've got such a good dramatic crew here.
And the thing is, I've said this for almost as long as we've been doing this show. When you get the balance right, DS9 is usually remembered as the one that went real dark, but it also could be very funny.
It like, absolutely could.
You don't have to be all one thing or all another thing. Think of fucking City on the Edge of Forever, where Kirk has to let his girlfriend die.
Yep.
There are some great early in that episode. The early acts are like fish out of water, time travel. How the fuck are we going to blend in here in the past? Like, you can still be funny and do stuff like heavy stories with gravitas, you know? Like,
yes. And
it just,
like,
you don't have to go all one or all the other.
Yeah.
And also, they had a whole show that was the comedy one, and we don't need to get into, you know, like, we don't need to relitigate that. We'll do that in a few weeks anyway. But the fact is, you had a dedicated show that was just the funny one, so you don't have to do that.
Yeah. Just like, if you, like, these are fun characters, you know? Like, if you just, like, let these fun characters exist in, like, a real situation, like, that fun will still be there if you're writing them well.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's one of the things that I, like, DS9 got completely right was in any given episode, you would just do a hangout at Quark's or in the Replimat or in Ops where two characters you don't usually see interact have a funny conversation and then the action starts. Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. And I know from next season that they continue with the wackies. Like, I haven't seen anything from season three yet, but I've seen some episode synopses, and it's like, oh boy.
I mean, I have definitely heard, like, from the show, the showrunners, when season four was coming out, that they were like, okay, so we got a little too goofy in season three, which doesn't
if they're
bode well.
That's something.
Yeah.
No, but if they recognize that, that's good. But I know there's one called 2.5 Vulcans or 3.5 Vulcans or something like that. So I think they're doing another one.
Please don't remind me of that horrible Charlie Sheen show.
Well, Patton Oswalt is in it too. So.
Oh, yeah. I saw that clip. Oof.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, one thing I did want to mention.
Yes.
They set up that Pelia had known Amanda and they were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they addressed that in this issue, but she's not, or in this episode, but she's not here.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would you do that work and then say, but never mind?
Yeah, like, well, and also, like, as far as I know, Amanda doesn't come back in the, at least hasn't come back in the series yet. Like, why?
I don't think so.
Like,
yeah, why would you set up the fact that they're friends?
Yeah.
You could have added a scene like that and taken out some, like, very long comedy scene.
Yeah,
you know?
I would love to see that.
Apparently there was, I don't know if it's a deleted scene or something they never even shot, but there's a whole bit Memory Alpha talks about where Spock learns how to chew gum, and I'm glad that didn't make it in.
That's a weird one.
Yeah. It was improv between him and Rebecca Romijn.
Sure.
So, like, I don't, like, that'd be a cute outtake, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's not in the episode.
I don't know. I would like to watch that scene separate from the episode. You know, you're allowed to
cut
things.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything.
You have a quote?
Oh, I do have a quote. Yes. This is just like Spock finding out that Chapel basically is out there risking her life for him.
Spock to M'Benga.
M'Benga here.
This is not going well. How is the cure coming?
We've hit a roadblock. Nurse Chapel went to find the Kirkovians.
She what? And you just let her go?
You and I both know that when Christine sets her mind to something, she's hard to stop.
Yes. It's very good. But also, we didn't really talk about the fact that he threw himself in front of her to soften the blow or whatever.
Basically, it gets revealed towards the end that, like, he pushed the all shields on Chapel button when they were about to get attacked.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, not attacked, but, like, fell into a hole.
Lasered, you know, laser hole.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think so, because I don't think, like, that implies that the aliens were, like, hostile, and they weren't.
Well, no, they're not assault. But they're not attacking lasers. They're just, you know, work lasers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Were they in a triangle?
Could have been. It was a circle, so it was probably just one long laser that touched itself.
Hmm. You really have a lot of thoughts about lasers and shapes.
Man, you ain't kidding.
All right. Well, I suppose that's all for this time. Next time, we have an episode called Lost in Translation, which I think is just a Tower of Babel episode, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, well, it better be good, because you're, like, fucking going up against Sisko going, bread! Yeah, I forgot about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So look forward to that. The website is postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail.com. And if you want to give us even a buck to the Patreon, it is patreon.com/Algar. We would very much appreciate it.
Yes, please.
And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.